How many remember what we talked about last week? Anybody remember? We talked about the four different uses of tongues, and then we primarily concentrated on tongues for our own edification. Now, there's in these four uses of tongues, there's tongues what? For personal edification that you personally can use anytime we want to, as much as we want to, as long as we want to build up our inward man, that spirit man. See, you are not just a body. You're not just a mind, but you have a spirit on the inside of you. Now, if I stepped out of my body and you could see me, there I would be and you'd see my spirit, wouldn't you? My body would be there and my spirit would be right here. And we'd say, hey, what is that made of? What is that? That's Pastor Doug. That's his spirit. It looks, you know, kind of like me, but glorified, you know, probably glowing real good. You know? but we would say that's made of spirit, wouldn't we? It's not made of flesh and blood. Now your spirit then lives right inside your body. But that's the real you, is that inward man, right? It's not the outward man. This part of me that you can see, it goes along for the ride and gives me the ability to function in this world, in this three-dimensional world. But when this old body gives up, my spirit then what? I'm still alive, aren't I? The real me exits the body and is in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that awesome? God is so smart, we can't think as high as He does. Even though we've got some smart people in the world, they think they know everything. Anybody ever see that? You know, the scientists, well, we know. You know, there's too much smog going on in the world, and not only did we do it to ourselves, but we're big enough to fix it. Well, I've got news for you. No matter how much we try to fix it, the world is under a curse. The Bible says it is groaning for redemption. Romans chapter 8, he says the earth itself is groaning to be redeemed, because one day we'll have a new heaven and a new earth. Glory to God. You talk about transformation. It's not going to just be, hey, we're doing a little bit better. Now, I believe we should take care of the planet the best we can. Amen. We should. We should do what we can do, but how many know there's only so much we can do? Because the earth is not going to get better and better whether we like it or not. Amen. And as long as there's sin and corruption in the world, there's going to be things that we're subject to and that we have to overcome. But we talked about tongues for, I don't know how I got off on that, but it's good anyway. The tongues for supernatural, you know, for our edification. It is supernatural, isn't it? That we can pray in any time. Tongues for interpretation. How many remember? That's if there was a tongue in a service or in a public sitting that needs to be interpreted as a word from God, the Bible said it equals prophecy. Then there's tongues for deep intercessional groanings. In other words, we take the place of someone else. You know, we sense something in our heart. We know someone's in danger. They're facing something. And God arrests your heart. And sometimes it can be that fast. And oh, you just go into a prayer and intercession and a groaning on the inside. Now, some people say, well, I'm not groaning. I never groan. But how many want to see change in the world? Then you groan on the inside. Amen. See, we showed Hans here today, but I could have showed you all those kids in Africa that are poor and all the starving children in the world. And how many know you would be moved? You would be moved in your heart when we think about that. We're moved to what? To compassion. And that's what God does. He brings us into compassion for a certain person. Empowers the believer to stand in the gap for their own life or their family's lives or their church, the city, a nation. God may call on them to intercede for someone or for some situation that's totally unknown to them. And so there are times when the Holy Spirit, as we seek God, He can slip us into that place where we're truly interceding, we're taking the place of someone else and standing between that person and destruction, amen? Whether it be them going to hell, whether it be them being destroyed in some way, an accident or anything like that. So, praise the Lord. And then finally, the fourth was tongues was assigned to the unbeliever. And that phenomenon, it takes place. We saw it on the day of Pentecost, didn't we? In Acts 2. Remember, they all heard them speak in their own language, even though they were from different languages. Everybody heard them. They were praying in tongues, but they heard that. And sometimes, as the Spirit wills, He can transcend the intellect and all language barriers by empowering a believer to preach, teach, or testify about Christ in some language of men of which the believer himself has no knowledge. You know, I know for sure that that's happened to me one time that I know of. I was talking to this guy, and he was a Native American, and I began to sense that come on me, and I talked to him, and he answered me, and I talked back to him, and he understood me in his language, and it was very, very profitable. Now, that doesn't happen as we will, okay? We can't force three of the four uses of tongues. We cannot do as we will. But one we can. That's for personal edification. Anytime we want to, we are the steward of that gift where we can sit down, we can begin to pray in tongues and begin to commune with the Holy Spirit anytime we want to. He's always on. He's always ready to communicate with you. And we develop that relationship with Him one-on-one when we're praying in tongues. Now, if there's a tongue to be interpreted, that would be as the Holy Spirit wills. In other words, someone senses it. Someone knows, hey, there's to be a message, and they give it out in tongues, and another person within the service or possibly the same person gives the interpretation of the tongue. It's not a translation, but it is an interpretation, okay? That means they got the meaning across, okay? It's not necessarily word-for-word translation. How many know sometimes in other languages, you know, if you do word-for-word translation, it doesn't quite make sense, but you get the meaning across. And then, of course, tongues for, as I just mentioned, tongues for prayer, intercession. You know, we can't just make that come on us, but as the Holy Spirit wills, He does. But we know that the one place that we can go is to Him, praying in other tongues, speaking mysteries to God, the Bible says, praying out God's perfect will for your life. And also it is a gift where we begin to learn and we begin to be taught. It's a revelation gift. In other words, revelation just means it becomes real to you. It comes alive on the inside of you. You begin to understand what God is saying in the Word of God. And we said last week, the Holy Spirit doesn't go outside the Word of God. When we're praying in tongues, He doesn't bring you things that are weird outside of what God's Word has said. Why? Because the Spirit of God and the Word of God agree. And He has given us this book of instruction right here. Hallelujah. How many are thankful for the Word of God? It is a sure guide. And if you have a question of something the Lord, you believe God showed you, we can find it here in the Bible. Amen. We can find that in the Bible somewhere. Or that, you know, that, what would you call that, Lord? That concept, that direction, that understanding would be right here. And we would find it. Amen. So, you know, when someone says, well, do such and such, well, you have to pray and seek God. Does that witness in my heart? Is that something that God's already been speaking to me. See, when we get a prophecy, a personal prophecy, it should confirm what God's already talking to you about. Because the Bible says we are led by the Spirit of God. Now, under the Old Testament, they did have prophets that came. How many know we're under a new covenant, a new testament? And the Holy Spirit comes to each and every one of us individually. And when we spend time with Him, He will bring His call upon your life, His understanding over and over. He'll bring it back to you. It'll grow in you like a tree. It'll become easy. You'll begin to understand it. You'll begin to know it. You say, oh, I see where you're taking me, Lord, step by step. It's not all at once, but a little at a time. You see, you only need to know the next step. Many times He doesn't show us everything. Well, why? Because He requires that we walk by faith and not by what we see in the natural. We're looking into what God has said to us. See, the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible. Everybody say impossible. See, that's a big word, isn't it? That means if there's no faith, it can't happen. Faith is being persuaded or understanding, being fully convinced that what God has said, I'm going to do. I believe. Amen. I believe it. And because I believe it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be obedient to it. See, faith is both knowing and understanding, right, what God said. But then sometimes, how many know there's a doing? You have to do it or it's not going to benefit you. If God says, hey, if you pray in other tongues, Jude 20, you will build yourself up on your most holy faith, but you never pray in tongues, then guess what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. See, when we do nothing, we receive nothing. It doesn't mean that we have to do, it's doing what God has said to do, not what we think we should do. See, God's word said that we can have what we say. And many times, exercising faith is saying what God has said about you and about your situation. That's really true faith. When we do and we say according to what He has already told us. Glory to God, right? Mark 11. Anybody read that scripture before? Mark chapter 11. Let's go there for a minute. He said, Pastor, what are you talking about today? I'm talking about prayer, but the four uses of tongues that are so powerful in your life. And the entrance into the other three is really you using the empowerment of tongues for your own personal edification. Because if you're not built up, how are you going to know when God is slipping you into that intercession for someone? How are you going to know when there's a message to be given in a tongue? How are you going to be able to be used by God to be assigned to an unbeliever? You're not. Because you're not used to what? The realm of the spirit, our spiritual man being built up and strengthened. And when our spirit is strong and healthy and vibrant, how many know it's much easier for God to tap us on the shoulder and we recognize what He's doing so that we can flow with Him, amen, and see change in our lives or in the lives of other people. Hallelujah. How many know God's all about change? That's what revival really is, isn't it? It's walking with Him. And praying in tongues has a lot to do with us walking with Him and understanding what He's saying in the Word of God and be obedient to that. Now we said Mark 11, verse 22 says this, so Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Or have the same kind of faith that God has. Well, what kind of faith does God have? Well, over in Romans chapter 4, he says, God who calls those things that be not as though they were. See, God, This isn't a new idea that man came up with. Sometimes you get in the world, you know, and they say, well, we have some positive affirmation. This is not positive thinking. This is positively speaking what God has said. This is saying and coming into line with what God said. Now, it's very similar. Where do you think they got the idea? From God. And it does work for people when we speak the truth, when we speak the end result. But here, Mark 11:22, so have the faith of God. For verily, verse 23, I say unto you, or truly, truly, assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, or will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now here we're talking about the simple prayer of faith. There are many kinds of prayer in the Bible, right? There's praying in tongues, of course. That's what we're concentrating on here. But secondly, there's also prayer, different kinds of prayer. This is a prayer of faith. Now we kind of separate, you know, from what I've looked at and how I've learned from the Bible, there's approximately nine, we could divide it up into nine different kinds of prayer. But how many know many times we separate things for definition's sake, but many times they'll kind of all flow together. Why? Because every prayer has to be with faith, right? You know, every prayer has to have some faith. So it kind of, you know, we separate so we understand and apply certain rules to certain kinds of prayer. But faith is involved in all prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to remember that. But he says here in the prayer of faith, whatever we would say or whatever we ask, when we pray, we've got to do something. What must we do? We must believe. Amen. Now that goes right along. He says, believe that you receive and you will have, you're going to have them. Amen. Whatever we ask for. So we can pray and ask and believe and receive, or believe exactly what we say is going to come to pass. Now, when you agree with what God has already said, and you're saying what God says, how many believe you're going to get what you say? Amen. Amen. That's why it's so important for us to hold fast to what God says of His Word. God can't lie. He said, I watch over my word to perform it. See, faith is two things. Faith is not just knowledge, knowing what God said. But faith is also knowing who said it and the reliability of that person. Anybody here, you know anybody? And maybe you've met somebody. It doesn't matter what they say. It's probably not true. You know, maybe they're full of themselves, or maybe they just say things all the time, and you know, you just kind of learn. Well, that's Joe Public over there. That's them. They just, you know, whatever they say, just, you know, you got to take it. What do we say? We take it with a grain of salt, right? We take it with a grain of salt. You know what they said? It might be true, but probably not. You know. So anyway, we know some people like that, don't we? But that's not our God, is it? The Bible said it is impossible for God to lie. Oh, whoo, I want to have a running fit. I really do. This is my God. We said, hey, what did we say? My God is going to supply. That means it's somebody. He's a person. He is a personality. God is not just some force out in the universe. Some people say, well, I believe in a higher power. Well, that's great and wonderful. I have to know who he is. His name is Jesus. He sent his son Jesus, who came and died on a cross, and I moved from the cross to the resurrection where He supplied resurrection power, not just for Himself, but for you and I. And He said, because of that, I stand behind my word. God said, I sent my Son for you. And when you, the Bible says, begin to pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit begins to pray. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, the real you. See, I haven't forgotten what I said earlier. It all goes together. You see, it's faith is not just knowing what God said, but knowing who He is. And when you begin to spend time praying in other tongues, we get to know God. The Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. He begins to reveal everything that you are in Him. The very life of God begins to move in and gain strength on the inside of you. And out of us flow those rivers of living water, one after another. Oh, my Lord. Woo. And you say, well, that's so wonderful. But yet, how many know in a river, sometimes when the river starts running, all the trash gets wiped away too? Amen. That's why praying in tongues can also sometimes show up within that river. We start seeing some things that looks like there's some trash in there that needs to go. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, because we begin to see from the light of the Holy Spirit things on the inside of us that, hey, that doesn't quite line up with what God wants. See, He wants us fully surrendered. He wants us fully in love with Him. The disciple loves God more than his own wife. More than his own children. More than his mother or father. More than a brother or sister. Hallelujah. More than his own life also. Whew. Well, where is that in the Bible? It's in Luke chapter 14. Let's turn over there now. It's part of it. We're walking with Him. How are we going to walk with Him? By faith. It takes faith to pray in the Holy Ghost. It takes faith and understand, if you can understand that when I'm praying, my spirit is being edified. 1 Corinthians 14:2, He says, he that prays in an unknown tongue edifies, well, verse 4, sorry, 14:4, edifies what? Himself. We're not talking to men, but to God, and we're speaking divine secrets with God. God knows all the secrets already. The secret is He's revealing the secrets to you. That's the truth. He makes the truth known on the inside of your spirit. The real you begins to gain that. And sometimes what we want to look for is we want everything and our circumstance to change right now. Oh, hallelujah! Jesus is coming on the white horse! And we want Him to come down here and change our circumstances. Not only that, here's $10,000 for you to go out to eat after church every Sunday. Oh, man, we want our situation to change. But what God does is He makes the change on the inside of us first. And then it begins to operate on the outside. But if there's no change inside, then what would be the advantage of changing the outside if on the inside we're already the same and our circumstances becomes the same again? See, we could come up here and, we could come up and pick all the dead fruit off of you, all the dead things. But if your inward man stays the same, if on the inside of you, you still have envy, or if on the inside of you, there's things that have not yet dead, you still have exaltation in there. I want to do my own thing, Lord. I want you to bless what I do instead of surrendering to what He wants us to do. Oh, Lord. He said, uh-oh, Pastor Doug's meddling with me now. You know, but you know what? We got to meddle with ourselves. We got to let God teach us. I told us to go to Luke 14, didn't I? Yeah. Because we are a part of it. Part of being His disciple is surrender to His will. Well, how am I going to most effectively surrender that will if I'm not willing to surrender and let Him pray for me? By the power of the Holy Spirit. And just yield my tongue to Him, my mouth to Him. And I let Him pray those supernatural words that don't originate with me, but they come from Him, and He brings them to my spirit, and I pray them back to the Father. It is a prayer to be answered and will be answered when we yield to Him. You said, "My Lord, brother, why are you talking about?" Because I want you to understand, if we're going to be His disciple, we've got to love Him. We've got to know Him. We have to walk with Him. I said Luke 11, I haven't forgotten. Hallelujah. Verse 25, Luke 14, I'm sorry, that's what I said, 14. I just said 11, I meant 14. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Luke 14, verse 25, it says, "Now great multitudes went with Him, and He turned and said to them, 'If anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you intending," He goes on to say, "to build a tower, does not sit down first, count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock. And they say, 'Hey, this man began to build, but wasn't able to finish.' What king that goes to war against another king, that he doesn't first sit down and consider whether he's able to, with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks considerations for peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be My disciple." It is impossible, in other words. We're talking about some impossible things today, aren't we? Amen. But with God, all things are possible. And part of being a disciple and learning to love God, letting Him make change on the inside of us, takes place as we spend time praying in other tongues. Letting Him begin to build us up, strengthen us from the inside out. And it is as supernatural as raising the dead. The reason it is, it doesn't come from you. How many people here have ever raised a dead person? Probably nobody. You know, we got one. Oh yeah, I forgot. Yes, Jim did raise somebody from the dead. Now, I had some close call. I had a lady one time. I got to tell this story. And my brother came in, and this lady was, there was this car backing up, I guess, and the car took off, and the lady was kind of hanging on behind, and she finally fell out, and she's on the ground. And my brother came by, and he says, "There's a dead lady out here." I said, "Let's go, come on, we can raise her from the dead." So we ran out of the apartment, and we go to pray for this lady, and, and we're praying over, you know, and all these people take three steps back, you know, and they're all getting back from her, you know, and somebody had called the ambulance, I suppose, and here she is. She's laying there, and so we're praying over in the name of Jesus, you know. "If you can hear me, lady, if you're still alive, first I'm trying to get her saved, you know. I'm talking to her. Tell her to confess Jesus is alive." I mean, you want somebody to go to heaven for sure, right? You know, if they do die, but we're believing she's going to live. And we speak life over her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Well, we come to find out about it. We found out she was just stone drunk. She wasn't dead. She wasn't even hurting. She was just drunk. So here I am. You know, I think I even said to some of the people standing around, "Anybody know that song, Hallelujah? Come on, sing some. Help us." You know? Oh, my goodness, sometimes. Amen. But I'd rather have a little while fire than no fire. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. You know, we've got to think that way. We've got to get our mind over there. And the Holy Spirit's the one that helps us. He helps us to understand how to love God, how to walk with Him, how to let our spirit man have the ascendancy over this outward man. The outward man perishes. The inward man is what? Being renewed day by day. And one of the greatest ways that we do that is we spend time on purpose with that empowerment of praying in other tongues, letting Him edify us. See, the teacher can tell us that we should walk in love. I can tell you that you should walk in love. But He cannot give us the strength to do it. See, I could talk to you and I could say, hey, you need to walk in more love. And you say, Pastor, I knew that before I got here this morning. Amen. Right? But that strength that only comes from a reborn human spirit and praying in tongues provides the means by which the Holy Spirit can build that strength into your spirit to where it becomes a permanent change on the inside of you. You see, we want to see our circumstance change out here. But are we willing to let the Holy Spirit work in our heart in here? And let Him bring permanent change from the inside out to where we actually become that love. We actually become, and we let that joy rise up on the inside of us. Where we actually have the peace of God, regardless of what the circumstance looked like. Well, they're suing me for $50,000. What am I going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to trust God. And we're going to let the peace of God, which passes understanding, take control of us. And we're going to fight by the power of God's Word and His Spirit. And we're going to stand by what? Releasing that ability that comes in our inward man. And we can say, hey, I forgive it. I let it go. I release. Hey, they stole $10,000 from me. Are we concerned about our money or are we concerned about their soul? And that's a very important question. Where are we? See, the Holy Spirit will help those rivers flow and purge out and wash out those things that doesn't care about the lost man. And He'll bring us that strength and that compassion that rises within where we care about our brother. We care about sinners. We care about the lost. We care about those that don't even love God. That it looks like there's no hope. But how many know as long as a person is breathing, there's hope. There's hope for them. They can still repent. They can cry out to God. Amen. And that's the value, really. Praying in the Spirit. Realizing I can be changed from the inside out to where the Holy Spirit... See, we might not know what the root is. We might not know what our problem is. Lord, there's something wrong, but I don't know what it is. But if we'll keep praying, the Holy Spirit will build us up above it and give us strength on the inside. Produce the ability for us to let it go out of our life once and forever. It could be a forever thing. I'm not saying it takes place instantly, but as we're consistent, as we keep fellowshipping with Him. Well, how many know you become like the people you hang around? Everybody says, you know, maybe your mother said, oh, don't hang around that person. Maybe she didn't let you. Why? They're a bad influence on you. They weren't a good influence to you. You know, we've all seen people. What? They got what happened to them? How come they're in jail? They got with the wrong crowd, right? The wrong people. And they, what? Influenced them. When we spend time with God, He influences us. And we become more like Him. And then, see, as we're changed inside, when the spiritual man of us is strengthened and built up, things become easier. Amen. And we overcome, and then it's displayed on the outward man. So how do I get that love that's in there out here? How do I get that joy that's in here out here? How do I let my faith begin to rise? I spend time with the Father, time with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues, developing that relationship with God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is for our time right now. It wasn't under the Old Testament. Jesus said, I'm going away so that I can send Him. The Father is going to send the Holy Spirit who will live and abide with you forever. Oh, how many are thankful for the Holy Spirit today? You're thankful for that power that comes and strengthens your reborn spirit and helps you to grow up and overcome the obstacles that face us on the outside of us. Amen. And builds us up where all permanent change begins to take place. Oh, Lord Jesus, I think I want to go pray in tongues for a while. I don't know about you, but hallelujah. I think I will. But anyway, I wanted to remind us, I talked about it again today, but it's important that we have a relationship with God. Praying in the Holy Spirit is going to so help you to be that follower, to be that disciplined disciple. See, He can teach you, what if something happened to Pastor Doug? I want you to know, you can give yourself to the Holy Spirit and He'll teach you. He'll take you by the hand. He'll train you. He'll help you understand the Word of God. He'll show you what you're called to do. See, I can help you how to spend time with Him and say these things, but I can't do it for you. I can't live on Jim's prayers. I can't live on Mama's prayers. But I can live on the prayers from the Holy Spirit when He helps me pray. Hallelujah. All right. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Lord, I just encouraged a little bit today, strengthened us a little bit today. Lord, we've been talking about this, Father, because it's so important. Lord, somebody has to stress the importance of giving ourselves to You, to the Holy Spirit, to help us, to strengthen us, to empower us to walk with You, Lord, that we don't stay the same, that we'll be changed day in and day out, Father. Continue, Lord, to press into You, Lord, for full victory in every area of our life. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Maybe you're listening this morning. You say, well, you know, I was praying and I started out real strong, but some things came up and I kind of quit. That's okay. He still loves you. It's not too late. Are you still breathing? Amen. You can start again. You can say, Lord, I'm going to spend more time praying in the Holy Spirit. Mark it down. Try to make yourself a schedule for a while. Why? Well, didn't you schedule your doctor's appointment? What'd you schedule it for? Well, so I didn't forget. Well, what do you want to go there for? Because I have a toothache and I don't want to miss that appointment. It's so important. The things that are important to us, we make time for, don't we? It's important to spend some time with Him. And I know many of you listening that are here today, a lot of you do spend a lot of time with Him. Well, let's think about it. Say, Holy Spirit, down in your heart, you want me to spend an hour, Lord, 2 hours? What is the amount of time that You have with me? See, sometimes we think, well, we can't pray enough. But if we pray the amount that God gives us and we realize and we sense in our heart, then we are. Now, that may increase over time. You can't pray too much, that's for sure, in other tongues, because he's going to keep changing you. He's going to keep building you up. But you know, if I get so carried away where I'm praying 24 hours and I'm hardly sleeping, you know, and I keep doing that and God give me some instruction, I need to go do that instruction as much as I need to pray. Amen. Amen. That's the whole point of praying, is that we are committing ourselves to him and being his follower and doing what he says and not our own ideas and not man's wisdom. How many are tired of just church? You know, or, you know, we just decide what we're going to do and ask God to bless it. Well, if we realize what God wants us to do, spend time with him, minister to him. Once a month, we're having what? Worship service here. On Wednesday night, once a month. Well, why? So that we can be doers and know our Father. You know how many know when you worship him, that's good too. Amen. But if you're thinking about that today, you say, man, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty in any way. But sometimes God convicts our heart. He's drawing us in. If he's saying, now I know I'm supposed to put a little bit more time in, Lord. I know that. And we keep running from that. We've got to stop. We've got to decide. I'm going to do that. I'm going to let him change me. I'm going to let him deal with me. I'm going to let him pull the roots of my problems out so that I can walk in victory, not just one day, but every day. Amen. How many know that's better in the long run, right? It might. You ever see a tree, you know, and you cut the tree down, but what happens? It grows another stick, another one. But if you take time to dig those roots out, it might take you a little while. But you get those roots out, guess what? There's not going to be another tree there unless you plant it. Amen. Hallelujah. So think about it this week and think about it today and ask the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you say, well, I don't pray in tongues, but you can. Any believer can. If you're born again, you can pray in tongues. You just ask the Father. Say, Father, I ask you to fill me and I expect to receive that gift of praying in tongues for my own edification. You can have that today. If you say, well, I want that, and you understand, you say, I want that, I'm going to receive that, you can come down. Our front row is open. We'll be glad to pray with you. Or if you're struggling in your prayer life, listening, something like that, you say, well, I'm struggling. I've got some things that have come up in my life, and I don't know why, but I'm having a hard time praying. And that's you. We want to pray for you this morning. I just want to pray. I'm going to pray for everybody. But if you specifically want hands laid on you, you can come down here. If you're listening there on Skype, just put your hands on your head there and we'll pray. We're going to believe God will give you what? Grace. What is grace? God's divine ability. And he'll treat you just like, you know, you're making a divine exchange. His ability for your inabilities or your lack of discipline in that area. And we're going to believe God for grace on you, okay? Father, we thank you this morning for grace. Once again, to continue to enter in as we start a new September, Lord, another year. Lord, coming soon. We want to be able to finish this year strong, Lord. Grant grace. Grace to enter in, grace to receive from you, Holy Spirit. That drawing, that understanding, Lord, and to be obedient, Father, to spend more time with you, praying in that supernatural language that strengthens us, that builds us up, and causes permanent change from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.